Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 18th chapter, reading verses 21 to the end of the chapter. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all of their possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me. I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of the slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 1,000 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe me.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and they reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." May God add his blessing to this reading and our hearing of this, his holy word. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we pray that you would open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up today. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing unto you. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. As an aside, I thought it was a good day to start wearing the robe, but it's still too hot, so you get me as I am. So if you haven't noticed, the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at Matthew. And I didn't really mean to do this, but when we were having to go back and forth to Duke, I said, I'm just going to see what the lectionary has. Look at, there's four passages every week in the lectionary, and I'm just going to preach off of that. And it's just happened that we've been looking at Matthew. But this is good. This is very good, because last week in our lesson, it was about, if you have a problem with someone, go and talk to them. If they don't listen, take a group of people. And if they still won't listen, bring them before the church. And if they don't listen, out the door they go. So today's passage comes immediately after last week's. And this is a good thing, because last week we talked about going and not letting things fester and become out of hand. And this week, we talk about forgiveness. So, at the beginning of our lesson, Peter, and you know it's got to be Peter, he's so outspoken. Peter says, Lord, how many times should I forgive someone? Should I do it 7 times? Which is if you think about it, you know, forgiving somebody 7 times, that's a big thing. And Jesus said, no, you should forgive that person 77 times. Or in some translations, it's 7 times 70, which is 490. But even still, 77, 490, it's a lot of forgiving going on. In my preparation for this week, I found a podcast called Pulpit Fiction, where there are two ministers, a Methodist and a UCC, that talk about the passages in the lectionary. So let me ask you a question. Does that number 7 ring any bells to you? Glenn, what bell does that ring for you? Right. Have we seen 7 in Scripture before? Yes. If we go back to creation, but if we go back to the story of Cain and Abel, once Cain had killed his brother and he was cursed, and he cried out, Lord, anybody will be able to kill me. And God said, if anyone harms you, you will be avenged 7 times. Now, the other interesting thing is later on in chapter 4 of Genesis, starting in verse 17, we see Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and he built a city and named it Enoch after his son. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Methuselah. Sorry, Glenn, I'm messing these up, I know. And he was the father of Methuel. Methuel was the father of Lamech. Lamech took 2 wives. The name of one was Adah, and the other was Zillah. Adah bore Jabal, and he was the ancestor who lived in tents and had livestock. His brother Jubal was the ancestor of all who played lyre and pipe. And we go on and we find in verse 23, Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Listen what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech will be avenged 77-fold. Now, I'm pretty sure that Peter knew about this passage from Genesis, even though I have never read it before. I don't know if anybody else has read about Lamech. So he would have known about the curse of Cain and how God said, if anybody kills you, Cain, I will avenge you 7 times over. And I'm sure Jesus knew about that, and I'm sure Jesus knew about what Lamech had said. Now there's a very interesting contrast here. If you go back to Genesis and you look at Cain and Lamech, it's all about vengeance. If anybody kills you, Cain, I'm going to bring seven times as much heartache or whatever on that person because I will avenge you. And here we've got Lamech, who is of the line of Cain. And by the way, the line of Cain were not the nicest people in the world. They kind of carried on how Cain acted. Here he is proclaiming, well, if my ancestor Cain would be avenged seven times, surely if anyone tried to kill me because I killed this guy who really needed to be killed because he did something bad to me, I will be avenged 77 times over. So you've got vengeance, but now in the time of Jesus, you've got forgiveness. How many times, and this is a rhetorical question, how many times have you absolutely wanted to destroy someone because of what they did? And don't lie, I know, I'm pretty sure that all of us have been like that. If someone does something to us or does something to our family, where does our mind first go? I'm going to get them. I'm going to make their lives terrible. I'm going to break them financially. I'm going to break apart the family. All right, that's a little exaggerated, but you get my point. Our first thing is always, we must avenge. And here, Peter is saying, Lord, how many times should I forgive someone? Seven times? And Jesus said, no. Either 77 times or 70 times seven times. I think what Jesus is saying and why the number isn't necessarily important, but I think that the reason why Jesus set this high number was because he is saying that we need to be continually forgiving. I also would say that Jesus is saying, you're probably going to have to forgive someone more than once before it's actually, you know, your heart is quieted of all the vengeance and whatnot. And I've experienced that, where I think I have forgiven someone and it comes back to haunt me, so to speak, or whatever, and I have to forgive once again. Jesus then moves into the parable of the unfaithful servant here. And again, in the Pulpit Fiction podcast, they made a statement that was very intriguing to me. Usually when we come to a paragraph, a parable, we always want to turn it into an allegory. What does this mean? What does this mean? All right, this is God. This is Jesus. This is something else. This is us. Okay, I see. Because I've matched up God or Jesus or an angel or whatever, I matched that up with myself. And now I can understand how this relates to me. The advice that they gave was, don't think of a parable as an allegory. Think about it as a room that you go in and you sit down and you take a look at what is around there. Now, in this parable, we can look at it allegorically. The king is God. We are that servant that he forgave a huge debt for. So God is forgiving, you know, he forgives us for all of the sins that we have in the world. And then you have the second servant who owes the first servant 100 denarii, which is not that much. And the first servant throws him in jail because he cannot pay back. So there's the thing, you know, God forgives us. We need to be forgiving to others. But there's another way that we can take and we can look at this parable. And this actually allows us to relook at what we looked at last night. Another way to look at this is to think about how this affects the community. So you got the king, he's saying, "Servant, pay me what you owe." "I can't pay it." What does the king do? He says, "Take this man, take his wife, take his children, take all of his possessions, sell them, and we'll put that against the debt." So it just wasn't the servant that was involved in this forgiveness, because it would have affected the wife, the kids. He would have been, the whole family would have been penniless because all of their possessions would have been sold. When we hold grudges, when we are not forgiving, it is disruptive, not only to ourselves and to the person that we are holding the grudge against and not willing to forgive, but it affects the community, especially in a relatively small city such as Pulaski or as is Radford, because when you're in a small town, people talk and it goes around and it affects the community, because now, hey, we've got this disruption in our community and it could have an effect on the community itself, depending upon who we are, our position within the city, you know, whether we are a businessman or a lawyer, or if we are a civil servant, it affects us. It affects the whole community. If you go back to last week, where again, we talked about going and talking to someone that we have an issue with. It's all about, it's not only clearing up the situation between myself and someone else, but it is also making sure that the side effect of this does not affect my family, the other person's family, and can ultimately affect the entire community. It is not only important for us to be mindful of what's happening with us, we need to be mindful of the effect that we can have on our communities, because we need to have stable communities, or else it leads to the community to a certain extent falling apart. becoming less effective, which leads to a whole bunch of other problems. So, it's tough. Forgiveness is tough sometimes. Sometimes it's very tough. And it is hard to forgive. But one way or another, that, my friends, is what we need to do. Even if it means that we don't forgive a person to their face, if it means what I have to do is I have to forgive them in my heart and drop it, that is what I'm called to do. Holly sent me a picture today of an article talking about, what is it, 88,400? Something like that. It's not, huh? It's the number of seconds in a day. I think it's 64, something like that. But if you have a spat or an altercation with someone and they have really made you mad, and that conversation, let's say, takes 120 seconds, 2 minutes. So that's 2 minutes out of 3,600 minutes in your day. Is it really worth using that other time during the day to focus upon that grudge? Does it really do you any good? I don't think so. I really don't. So what can we take away from the passage today? Well, there is the obvious one. Because God forgave us, we need to forgive others. But there is also the side effects that can come from our holding a grudge and how that affects a church community, a neighborhood community, a city community, and on and on and on. Forgive each other as I have forgiven you. And you got to do it. You got to forgive. And to a certain extent, forget. Amen.